This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. My name is Brad Brown. It's great to have you with us. And it is Ironman World Championship 70.3 week. Lots of excitement building up here in South Africa. I can't tell you that much. And it's amazing to see. I absolutely love it. Just watching my Facebook feed of everybody who sort of follows the Kona Edge or who has been on the Kona Edge sort of making their way to Nelson Mandela Bay. A lot of people here already, but a lot of people hopping on planes as we speak. And yeah, I am super, super proud of where I get to live, and I'm just so excited that so many people are experiencing a country I think that we take for granted here in South Africa. We live in an amazing place. We've got some awesome people and amazing sights to see. So it's really cool to see someone experiencing what, like I said, what we take for granted through someone else's eyes. So it's been an amazing couple of weeks, and I think it's going to be for the next couple of weeks as well, as people decide to stay on and extend their break here in South Africa following the 70.3 world. So yeah, it's pretty cool. If you are heading this way, if you haven't left yet, safe travels. If you're listening to this in South Africa, welcome. It's good to have you here. And I'm sure it's going to be an amazing, amazing race this weekend. Speaking of world championships, today we touch base with Dan Ploos once again as his build-up to Kona 2018 continues in the Do You Know Kona series, which is brought to you by S Fuels. And this episode of the Kona Edge, also brought to you by S Fuels. Ultra endurance athletes finally have a choice, and that's to hydrate and fuel muscles without sugary drinks and gels, without the sugar swings, without sugar gut issues, and without sugar inflammation. S Fuels Ultra Endurance Drink Mix comes in coconut, lime, strawberry, lemonade, and pomegranate acai flavors, and it hydrates, fuels, and supports the gut and muscles in ultra endurance training and racing. The best part about it, S-Fuel's giving you the opportunity to try out S-Fuel's absolutely risk-free. They'll give you a money-back guarantee, plus throw in free shipping on your first order, so you can try it out, and like I said, absolutely no risk. If you'd like to find out more about S-Fuel's and pick up your first order, all you need to do is head over to this URL, okay? It is thekonaedge.com/S-Fuel's. That's S-F-U-E-L-S, thekonaedge.com/S-Fuel's. The link is in the podcast player as well. You can click straight through from this podcast player that you are listening to the show on. And yeah, definitely go check it out. You've got nothing to lose. Coming up on today's podcast as well, we chat to a fellow South African once again, Evert Kleinerts, as he shares his Ironman nutrition tips with us.
Hi there, Dan Ploos here from S Fuels TV. And this is week 6 of Do You Know Kona? So we've been covering off a few things for the past 7 weeks, but today I'm just going to go through basically my top 3 must-see sites on the course for the swim, bike and run at Kona. So first, swim, what would be my number one tip? So make sure you get out and have a good swim around that swim course, and really look on the swim back in on what you can actually sight. There's actually a really big mast that's really handy to know where you're going, and hopefully there should be some people in front of you. But that mast I always found when I was swimming out there doing a bit of training was a really good sighting pole to get myself back into the harbour. On the bike, I would definitely say, as we talked about a few weeks ago, was the Harvey Hill. If you haven't been out there before, make sure you get out to the hill and experience that bike course. Experience the hill and experience the crosswinds. I'd say that's really, really important. And also experience Scenic Point, the hill on the way back, which is about 30 to 40 kilometers from the end of the bike, because although it's small at the end of the bike, it can be quite a tiring little event. Last of all, then, I would look on the run. Look at the Queen K. I think most people underestimate some of the false flats that are on the Queen K when you're running back towards and back from the energy lab. There are a few false flats that can really catch you out, particularly on the way back. So just pay attention to those. It's always good to have a look at those when you're riding back in on the bike after you've been out for a training session, and just get an idea of when that road starts to just very, very slightly tilt towards the sky. Until next time. See you next week for Do You Know Kona?
You're listening to the Kona Edge. Time to chat some nutrition. We head back to Pretoria here in South Africa to touch base with Evert Kleinans. Evert, welcome back onto the podcast. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. Thanks for having me.
Evert, I love your philosophy, the way you've approached the sport, that it is it's so holistic and it's a long-term project. There's no sort of quick fixes. I'm taking it you approach nutrition the same way.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, Brad, the biggest game changer for me was when I had a look at my nutrition. You know, I think a lot of times guys will focus on, you know, a bike power and indoor trainer and treadmill and all that type of thing. And the thing they're overlooking is nutrition. And I used to find that in once I realized that is I used to run, half Ironmans in, you know, as I run, I tend to cramp up or, you know, it was just like as soon as I opened up my stride, it was like my body is limiting me. And I knew that there had to be some reason. I said, okay, well, nutrition is something I need to look into. And I contacted a guy with the name of Justin Stout. He's a South African who lives in Australia now. And he's a huge ketosis fan. So now I contacted him and I said, you know what? I've tried the carb thing and it doesn't work for me. So let's look at ketosis and using fat as fuel. And we had a nice discussion and he said to me, okay, right. That was after Ironman last year. And previously to that, my quickest time or coming off the bike, 70.3 was 120.125. Now, which is not slow by any means, but it's not no world class 70.3 type of level. And I spoke to Justin, I said, listen, this is the scenario. And he said, okay, I'm going to give you 8 weeks, eating plan and a nutrition plan. And let's see how it works. And it was 8 weeks up until Durban 70.3. And I followed the eating plan 100% and I came off the bike. And as I went along, I felt stronger and stronger and stronger. And I ended up running a 123 on a slightly longer course and I couldn't believe it. No issues with cramping, nothing. And it was literally just due to nutrition. And since then, obviously, you know, it suits the longer stuff better as well. And I found that's what works for me is, so it's not I think with nutrition, it's not I go into the shop, buy a couple of gels and bars and off I go. I think if you're serious about it, you need to have a long-term strategy and say, okay, well, listen, what nutrition plan is going to work for me? And then you stick to it. You know, you can't flip-flop in between nutritional plans. So I think, you know, you have to find out what works for you, but going high fat, low carb definitely made a massive difference for me.
Evert, talk to me a little bit about sort of the changes from a day-to-day perspective, because as a South African, I know this, we're a meat and potatoes and three veg type of country. There's a lot of carbs in the stuff that we eat generally across the board. I mean, going from that to, I mean, you're talking ketosis, there must have been a massive, massive change from your day-to-day sort of the way you were eating.
Yeah, I mean, first thing is when I talk to people and people ask me about it, you know, if you go 110% ketosis, you know, it becomes quite daunting and it becomes intimidating. So, you know, to get people into it, firstly, what I would say to them is just cut sugar. Okay. First thing you do is try and cut sugar. That's it. That's the biggest thing. And then you say, okay, right. Don't view it as no carb, view it as low carb, if I can say it that. And then work from there. Like with anything, like your training, you know, set small goals. So, okay, right, I'm not going to eat toast in the morning. You know, I'm not going to do breads. And then you say, okay, I'm not going to do, say, arguments like potatoes and all that type of thing. And then, you know, we all have families. We all live. You know, my kids want arguments like KFC. So, you know, if you don't have a choice, look at the healthiest option you can choose. So, you know, get a fold over, but get a grilled one, argument's sake, you know, not a deep fried one. So, and don't do that every weekend. So, or do a salad. So, you know, it's also, what do I eat? So you don't want to complicate it too much. So what I normally do is you eat eggs, bacon, which is nice, you know, feta, avocado, salads, a lot of chicken salad. Tuna salad and all those type of things, you know, and we can luckily being meat eaters, you know, you can have your biltong and dravels, which is nice, you know, just not too much, if I can call it that. So yeah, if you just view it from that perspective, you can actually eat quite normal. You know, and like I said, just cut out, you know, don't do your beer, Don't do bread. Don't do sugars. Or if you can go green, you'll become mean, if I could call it that. Mm. So yeah, you know, that's mainly the kind of mantra, if you can call it that. Also, another thing in terms of the ketosis thing is, which freaks people out, is people say, okay, I want to do a change to my nutrition, but they don't want to lose the benefits. So if you want to use fat as fuel, you kind of have to teach your body to do that. It's like swimming or getting fit in terms of running, or your body will only become efficient burning fat if you teach it to do that. The only way you can do that is to actually lower your heart rate, you know, train on a very low heart rate, which is in any case good for your endurance base. So typically what you would want to do is to say after Ironman South Africa, take 4 weeks or 6 weeks. In that recovery period, you know, do very low heart rate, low intensity stuff. And that will benefit you in terms of your fitness, but it also teaches your body to use fat as fuel. And now you become more efficient. If I can tell you what I use on a 70.3 nutrition-wise, I think you'd be shocked about the amount that I take in, just due to my body being efficient. In terms of in the mornings you do the IDTs, I normally don't eat before that. You know, you get up, you have your coffee, get on the bike, you know, train for 40 minutes after that, and I don't really eat anything. You know, and that's how you reinforce and you train your body. And once you do that, you actually see how that you don't need all of this stuff to race well. So, yeah, I think that's something that made a massive difference for me.
Yeah, you bring up a very important point there, because I think a lot of people are interested in racing and eating on a low-carb, high-fat sort of diet, but they get freaked out when you start talking about race day nutrition, and they are so stuck in the mindset that you need to be taking. I mean, you see it at every race, and everyone has a good laugh when somebody posts a photo of it where somebody's top bar, there's like 20 gels that are taped to the bar. People get freaked out when you tell them, and tell me what you race on. For an Ironman, tell me what you race on from a low-carb, high-fat perspective for race day nutrition.
Yeah, obviously, you know, in terms of that, is people tend to take it a bit too far as well. I think just starting off, if you read Chris McCormack's book, you know, I'm Here to Win, where he went to Kona and he struggled tremendously with his nutritional plans. You know, so literally what I do is obviously the morning before I would eat well in terms of eggs and bacon and make sure I'm properly filled. And then, you know, I've got, a brand, you do use carbs, but very low carbs in terms of bottles. So I'll have two bottles on it. And then in terms of the nutrition I'm using, there's one of the products is called, Keto Nutrition XO, and basically that flushes your body with ketones. So what you do, half an hour before the race, you take 500 ml XO, and that kind of wakes up all the ketones in your body. And there's a lot to be learned about ketones. I mean, Chris Froome and Novak Djokovic, all those guys are doing, you know, ketosis. So it wakens up the body. You do the swim. You come off 15 minutes within the race. You don't eat or drink anything, obviously, because of the salt water. You don't want to upset your stomach. And then what you tend to do is I set my Garmin on every 10 minutes. Every 10 minutes, I'll use a very low-carb energy drink. Keto Nutrition's got, for goodness sake, it's got Enduro Plus, which has not got a lot of carbs in it. But you do take your carbs, and then you sip on that. Literally just a sip every 10 to 15 minutes, depending on how hot it is. So I never take big gulps. And then I've got, in terms of gels, I use nut butter gels. So high caffeine nut butter gels, which is like a paste. So a lot of these gels you put in your mouth and it kind of gets stuck in your throat and you have to, you know, you almost get nauseous of it. So I tend to go, it's almost like a toothy pasty thing. It's called nut butter gel. Which has got MCT, it's got coconut oil, it's got all the good stuff in it. So I would typically say drink one bottle every hour and then take one gel every hour that I'm racing. And then half an hour before I get off the bike, I make sure I've got another 500 ml XO that I drink, and I finish that. And that kind of flushes the body, like I said, and it sets you up for the run. And then on the run, the first couple of kilometers, I would do water. And as I go along, what you tend to do is then I'll say, okay, right, then I'll start to mix Coke and water. So that's not really ketosis-like, but at that stage, kind of your body needs, as how I understand it, is your body needs blood in your stomach to absorb fat, use fat as fuel. So what happens is at some stage, your body obviously also needs blood to send to your muscles for oxygen. So at some stage, if your body becomes distressed, it says, okay, well, you know, I need all the blood to go to the muscles so that I can feel that. So now you've got no blood in your stomach, so you can't break down that fat as fuel, if I can call it that. And then you need those simplified sugars just to, you know, fire it up. So later on in the marathon, you know, you don't want to take too much because you don't want that spike and coming down. But, you know, I mix it with water. And I never really take solids, and that's how I race, and it's worked well for me. So I think, like I said, this is a lot to take in. You go and have a read a Chris McCormack's book where he says Coke, the best sports drink in the world, and he explains it very nicely in terms of where he is there. But like I said, you know, you can't smash Coke from the start. That's not gonna work. So it's a very fine line, but typically that's how my race would pan out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. And again, as you said, what works for you, it might not work for everyone, but you need to test it and figure out what does work for you. So we're all an experiment of one. From a weight loss perspective, you must have lost a bit of weight as well following this sort of the low carb, high fats being in ketosis.
Yeah.
I mean, we spoke about the bottles and having extra weight on the bike. Also, laying off the cheeseburgers helps you go faster.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously you become very lean and mean, but also with that, what I tend to do is I tend to use L-glutamine, which is good for you, and then also creatine. Now, the creatine came in going to Kona because obviously, you know, you have a look at Kona's run times, the guys swim an hour, they bike like, you know, they stole it, and then they come to the run, and as something I've noticed is they're running 4 hours or 3 hours 45. And I'm thinking, how did these guys get to Kona and they run 4 hours? And obviously, when I went to Kona, I had a very good and hard look at that. And I'm like, okay, like, obviously the run in Kona is the hardest. And then the whole cramping thing comes up, your body seizing up. And me and Justin had a good chat about it. And it's also something that Chris McCormack said in his book that he figured out is we all tend to hydrate on a blood level. So you're taking all these electrolytes and your blood's nice and full of electrolytes, but we never hydrate our muscles. So what happens is you take the creatine, and what that does is it helps your body to absorb twice the amount of fluids. So now once you hit that zero point in terms of blood level, your muscles are still very much hydrated. So, you know, you're kind of creating a reserve, and that's a process that you start roughly 2 weeks before a race. It's just to hydrate the muscles, and creatine helps with that. So if you're saying in terms of weight loss, you're doing this process, you don't look as lean and as mean because you're holding some water back. But once again, like I said, it's not, when I'm tired, I don't care how I look. It's not like we spoke about it. It's not a look, it's a feeling.
Yeah.
So yeah, I might not be that lean and mean, but that might not be the most efficient way. I mean, I'm not saying this is an issue, but I heard one of the commentators talk about Jan Frodeno this year or last year at Kona, where they said, you almost look too lean and too mean, you know, in terms of that. And that, Brett Sutton talks about it as well, where guys are dropping weight too rapidly and you lose all your power. So once again, you know, it's literally, you know, getting you to race weight. It almost says like someone said, eat correctly and your ideal race weight will find you. So going ketosis definitely helps. You know, you might not be lighter, but the muscles you do have is efficient. So I don't look at it as being light. I'm saying, okay, I might be a bit heavier, but am I efficient? So, you know, yeah, that's basically what it comes down to for me.
Leo, it's been great catching up. I thoroughly enjoyed my chat. Thank you so much for your time here on the Kona Edge, and all the best in the build-up and the return, whenever it is, to Kona. We look forward to following your progress.
Brad, thanks, Brad. Thanks for the awesome program.
And that's it for another edition of the Kona Edge. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope you enjoyed that. I thoroughly enjoyed my chat with Evert. Lots of nuggets in there as well to take out of from a nutrition point of view. And a massive thank you to the sponsor of this edition of the podcast. It was brought to you by S Fuels Ultra Endurance Drink Mix in coconut, lime, strawberry lemonade, and pomegranate acai flavors. S-Fuels Ultra Endurance hydrates, fuels, and supports the gut and muscles in ultra endurance training and racing. Be sure to check out their incredible S-Fuels bars as well. The URL to get to is thekonaedge.com/S-Fuels. That's S-F-U-E-L-S. You can click straight through right now. Free shipping plus a money-back guarantee, so you've got absolutely no risk. To try them out and see if it does work for you. Before I go, I've been asking for iTunes reviews, and we got another one in. This one from Damo. Damo is saying, "Hey, Brad, I've enjoyed listening to your podcast for ages. Really informative listening to such a range of athletes. Keep up the great work. I'm an Aussie and have done lots of 70.3s around the globe, most recently in Hawaii. And 3 Ironmans, last one in New Zealand, which I can't recommend highly enough. Cheers, Damo." Damo, you're a legend, mate. Thank you so much for taking the time and leaving that review. It is hugely, hugely appreciated. If you ever make it out to this side of the world, Ironman South Africa is beckoning, mate. I think you'd love it as well. Be sure to look us up. And don't forget, you can also pop me a mail if you'd like. The email address is brad@thekonaedge.com. Tell me what you love about the podcast, what you don't like about the podcast. I'm always open to suggestions. If there's questions you think I should be asking guests, please do be in touch. I love listening or hearing from listeners around the world. Until tomorrow, have yourself a great one. Cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for The Kona Edge.